I feel as if though all the children have communicated to us the message of the gospel this morning. And it was much grace received through the children this morning. Please turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 verses 1 to 3. We will read the passage together this morning. Hebrews chapter 1 verses 1 to 3. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom also He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. In the Old Testament days, through His prophets, He spoke to our ancestors, and at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. The prophetic word spoken to us through Moses was not able to make us perfect. It was because the law that was given, the people could not obey fully. So prophets in the Old Testament days at many times in various ways spoke to the people. But however, the nation of Israel representing the humanity could not obey the law of God. It was not because the law was imperfect, but it was because the nature of the recipients who receive the Word of God. It proves to us, even today, that when we read the Scriptures, even today, when we read the Word of God, the question is, can you truly obey the Word of God perfectly? No, it is difficult. We cannot keep it perfectly. But it is because of the recipients, again, not because of the imperfection of the law of God. In the Garden of Eden, the mankind and God were able to communicate with one another. But after eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that fellowship with God was broken, and therefore the mankind fell in a state where they cannot keep the law of God. And therefore God sent His Son Jesus Christ. God sent Second Adam into this world. And we call the New Testament scripture the covenant of God. So the mankind cannot keep the original law of God, and therefore He sent His Son Jesus Christ. And we see that in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. It says, "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them." So this is a law of God given to the nation of Israel at Mount Sinai. And He goes on to say, "No longer will a man teach his neighbor, a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will know me from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. This is what the Lord says, He who appoints the sun to shine by day, who decrees the moon and the stars to shine by night, who stirs up the seas so that waves roar. The Lord Almighty is His name." It says, no longer will a man teach his neighbor, know the Lord, because they will all know me. And the reason it says this is because when Jesus comes to us, when Jesus comes to us, there is no longer a need for us to come to know Him, because He resides in us. When Christ resides in us, we come to know Him as our Lord and Savior. And Jesus, when He was here on the earth, He says to eat of me and to drink of me. And from our fleshly point of view, this is difficult to understand. But when Jesus said, eat of me, partake of me. When he says eat of my body and drink of my blood, what he is saying is that you must be Jesus Christ. You must, just as when you eat certain food, that food becomes part of you. So therefore, when he says, when Jesus says, eat of me, that means Jesus is saying that when he comes into us, he becomes part of us. We become one with Christ. So in 1 John, there is no longer need to teach one another, but the Spirit now is within you, able to teach. And Apostle Paul refers to Christ within us, the Word of God within us, as the truth of God being etched in our hearts. Just as when you eat of certain food, you truly get to experience, come to know what that food tastes like, it is the same with Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ begins to dwell within you, you come to know who he is. It is not merely through witnessing. It is not merely through teaching and learning. It is through the work of the Spirit. When Spirit begins to reside in us, he teaches us of his Son, Jesus Christ. We come to know our Heavenly Father as our true Father. So that's what the New Covenant is referring to. It is referring to the dwelling of Jesus Christ within us. The commandment, the law of God that we could not keep perfectly, when Jesus begins to dwell within us, inside of us, we naturally come to know our God as our Father. So that is what it is referring to in our main text this morning when it says that God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets many times in various ways, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. The law of God demands for our action, demands our obedience. But the covenant of God is all up to God. God is the one who makes it all possible. All that is left up to us is for us to believe. So we live in this age of grace. When God created the universe, for 6 days he created all things. But ultimately, his end goal was to create the mankind. And that mankind was created according to his image, according to his likeness. That is the human being that God created. So when the scripture says God created us according to his image, according to his likeness, it is saying that he created us like his Son. God created us in body, soul, and spirit. In the entire universe, there is no other created being like us who have been created in body, spirit, and soul. And so with that, he made us capable of subduing, ruling over all of God's creation. And with that, God enabled us to come to know him. He created us as a being able to have God dwell within us. He created us as a vessel to have the presence of God within us. He created us to be able to display the glory of God residing within us. So through our emotions, through our will, through our body, he desires for us to display the glory of God. So the worth of mankind, the value of mankind is not merely found on the mankind themselves, but it is found in the purpose for which God has created us for. Our worth is found on our use that God has created us for. He has created us to be the vessel that contains the presence of God. And we are created so that we display what resides within us. And when the seed of Christ falls within our hearts, we display the nature and the glory of God. We were created as a field that is ready to receive the seed of Christ, seed of the gospel, to fall into our hearts that we might be able to display the glory of God. But Satan entered in. He deceived us And he tempted mankind to become their own master, become their own God. So in other words, the temptation was for us to become our own masters, that we stray away from God and declare our freedom, our independence from God, and live according to our own will. So the life was given to us to be united with God, but upon eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, we strayed away from God's original design, and we declared our own autonomy, we declared our own independence from God. And just as in Adam, when Satan came and deceived mankind to become their own master and their own God, and the mankind was tempted to be like the angels, who seemed to be powerful, who seemed to be self-sustaining, and how glorious, how powerful would that be? So Adam listened to Adam and was drawn in to the temptation. And knowing that the word of God was fearful, he disobeyed and ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil in his quest to become like God. And so from there on, the mankind is drawn to mystery, drawn to powerful things, drawn to miracles. And so that innate nature that rebelled against God is residing within all mankind today. The mankind are easily drawn unto mysterious teachings. Mankind are easily drawn to miracles and wonders. And mankind refuses to be a created being that was created out of the dust of the earth. And our head is filled with such things. We pursue after success. We pursue after power. We climb the ladder of authority and power and wealth in this world. And we are filled with our pursuit of such things in our lives. And so when you fail to climb that ladder, you are disappointed. You are discouraged. You want others to look up to you. And that is the picture of a cursed life. The president has to die. A wealthiest person on earth has to die. Because we are born in sin and death. No one else, nobody can change our ultimate destiny. And why do we have to go eventually to our grave? Because we are born in death. And no one can change that fate for every mankind. Beloved, know that you are dead. You were born in sin and death, and therefore you will eventually die. And no one else, nobody will be able to change that reality. And for you to think that you are your own God, you are your own master, how deceived a person can be when you don't even know what will happen to you a moment later. This is all a foolish thinking. For one to think that they can be their own God, that they can be their own master. And after death, there will be judgment of God, and there will be hell for those without Christ. But the mankind live their life in their foolish thinking, pursuing after these worldly things. And they fail to desire to go to Christ, seeking life. So in their deluded state of mind, that mankind lives their life seeking after what they shall eat, what they can wear, what they can live in. That is the greatest of all deceptions the mankind has fallen into. Whether you believe what the scripture says or not, what is for certain is that you will be heading to your grave. There will always be a fear of death in every person's life. What will happen to you tomorrow or the day after? Even the day that you will go into your grave, you cannot decide and determine that on your own. There is no order of death that people know of. Young ones die, older people die. This is the picture of the life of every mankind today. It was on a very cold day where we had to get a physical examination, and we were told to take off our clothes, and we were shaking, literally shaking because of the cold, and waiting for the doctor to perform his physical examination. Beloved, that is the picture of every human being. We are trembling and shaking, awaiting our appointed time of death. This is what the Bible teaches us, the truth of death that is awaiting every mankind. But many of us are deceived to think that nothing will happen to us. Whether you live long or not, for every mankind, their eventual fate is death. And even then, the mankind is living in hallucination, thinking that they are their own God, thinking they are their own master. Mankind lives their life in agony, in worry, in anxiety every day of their life. Beloved, examine yourself. Apart from Christ, there is no peace, there is no rest, there is no happiness. The only thing for sure for every mankind is their grave awaiting them at the end. This is the truth, and this is the fear that every mankind lives under. So you need an answer to that problem of sin and death. It is not an issue of what you will wear, drink, and wear here on earth. So it is for certain Satan's deception that has come upon every mankind. Just as it says in the Gospel of John, Satan is the ultimate father of lies. Jesus says to eat of his body. But Satan came and said, eat of what I offer you, and turned mankind into false men. Just as I said before, that mankind has created you according to his likeness. He has created you as a dwelling place for God. He has created you to be the one who display the glory of God that dwells within you. My words are the words that displays the glory of God. My life should be a life lived out to display the glory of God residing within me. That is the ultimate purpose of God creating each and every one of you. What are the things that you continue to generate each day, produce, and put forth every day? Is it the words of Christ? Is it the things of Christ? If so, then people around you will find a life. But oftentimes, the things come out of us are things that come out of an open grave. Through our lips, through our tongue, we spew out filth. What do people see when they see you, when they see your life? What is your life displaying? So we must, beloved, examine ourselves whether we are displaying the glory of God or whether we are displaying the presence of Satan within us. So, beloved, we've lived our lives pursuing after many things and displaying what is inside of us through our pursuit of the wealth, through our pursuit of power and fame. What have you displayed in your life after pursuing the things of this world? Did they bring you joy? Did they bring you peace? But the reality is they did not bring anything to you. But all that you would realize and sigh about is the fact that all this filth that is pouring out of your life. It says in our main text this morning, in these last days he has spoken to us by his word. Another means he's promising us that he would give us his son. It is an invitation for us to receive the seed of Christ. When the seed of Christ is sown within our hearts, then it will grow and bear fruit. When the seed is planted, it grows and it will bear fruit. And we bear the fruit of Christ. After Jesus Christ died and rose again, Jesus became the first son, the eldest son. And we all have become the sons of God. And he is the first son of God because he is the first to die and rise again. And he is our oldest brother because he died and rose again because he fell to the ground. Just as a seed falls to the ground, he died and rose again. And afterwards, he gave us the seed of Christ. And he offered to us death and resurrection. And beloved, because you and I could not die to pay for our own sins, Christ came, he died for us on our behalf. So his death is accounted for as our death. His resurrection is accounted as our resurrection. That is the seed of Christ. The mankind who is the likeness and the image of God. What will bring them true happiness? Every one of us has certain prayers in our hearts. We pray to God and say, God, give me this and give me that based on what we think our need is. And we demand these things from God. But God looks upon us and hears our prayer and says, there is nothing for me to give you. He says, I have created the universe and given it to you, and I have given you my only begotten Son. Therefore, I have nothing else to give. And therefore, it is now time for you to offer unto me something. So today, instead of crying out to the Lord asking for things, but God is demanding from you His Son, Jesus Christ, because He has given us the seed of Christ into our hearts already, that He is demanding the display of Christ in our lives, display of Christ in our words and our actions. So He has given us His only Son, so there is nothing else for God to give us. Now is the time for the harvest of the Lord to see the coming out of the display of Christ within our lives. He has given us His Son, therefore He has given us His eternal life. And therefore, the life today that you are to live is a life that displays the presence of Christ within you. So the people who interact with you, so the people who see you, your neighbors, should see Christ within you. People must be able to witness the light of Christ within you. And that is what God is demanding of you, asking of you today to display the glory of Christ, glory of God from our lives as God begins to dwell within us. When you have Christ within you, you go to your work with Christ within you, you go into your family with Christ within you, and if Christ is present within your life, what is displayed through you? It is Christ. As Christ is displayed at your work, that Christ within you is the pastor. That Christ within you is the message, the gospel that must be preached to the others around you. And when that happens, when our lives become the gospel of Christ preached to the others around you, that is where you must find your ultimate happiness. That is the greatest blessing that you can receive in your life. And besides that, all other things of life that we use to pursue after, all that is no longer bringing joy and peace into your life. All that brings is misery and anxiety and worries of life. Whether you are related to certain people or not, in your interactions, as Christ lives within you, you begin to display the nature of Christ. And that is what it means when it says in the Bible that you, the body of Christ, the church of Christ, becomes all in all. That's when you will find your ultimate true happiness. But besides Christ, but besides living a life that displays the glory of Christ, if you have everything else in the world, it is all for nothing. It is all in vain. There is nothing in this world that has such worthiness, such a value. It is all in vain. Just as it says in Ecclesiastes, under the sun, you toil and you labor away. What do they truly bring? And you spend all your life And all your labor, all your toil under the sun, what benefit does it ultimately bring to you? What a truth that is. The mankind pursues after such materialistic, worldly things all their lives, but at the end, what does it truly bring? It is all a work of vain vanity. And the only life that brings true happiness is a life lived to pursue the person of Jesus Christ. That brings eternal life to you, and that brings eternal life to the people around you. And that is what brings the ultimate worth, ultimate value to the life of a man. But however, even now, instead of pursuing after the Son of God, they spend their lives awaiting for some other words instead of listening to the gospel of Jesus Christ that speaks of the coming of the Son of God. And it is because we do not want to die. We do not want to see ourselves as one that need to die in order to receive the Son of God into our hearts. And people like to hear health and wealth gospel. People like to hear that when you believe in Christ, you will be blessed in wealth, in power, in fame. But they do not like to hear that you must die at the cross of Jesus Christ. They do not like to hear that you must become nothing. They do not like to hear that you must return to the dust of the earth where you came from. And so that's why people like to go to fortune tellers. And I know that even many of the people in the church like to go and listen to what the fortune teller has to say about your future. And I've seen some people even in the church, they're kind of afraid to go themselves, but they give their information to some others around them that they might go to the fortune teller and seek to know their future. And in the every mankind, there are people like the disciples. On the exterior, they followed Christ. On the exterior, they were with Christ. But on the inside, they denied Jesus Christ. They sold Jesus Christ. That is you and me, beloved. That is the nature of the mankind. And we have that within us. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The word of Christ is the only life to us. Everything else, the miracles and wonders, all the health and wealth and gospel, do not heed your ears to them. And all such worldly pursuits must end. If you were born in sin and death, that person born in sin and death must be put to death. And all the worldly pursuits, all the worldly attractions are things that ultimately will bring death. So God, who spoke to our ancestors through the prophets and many times in various ways, but in the last days He has spoken to us by His Son. You must receive the seed of Christ within your heart. The mankind who ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil and pursued their way to being their own God. And when Satan came to Jesus and tempted Jesus and tested Him and says, turn this stone into bread. And what was Jesus' answer? Jesus' answer was not that He would turn the stone into bread, but He spoke from the perspective position of a true man and said, it is not for me to turn this stone into bread, but it is that mankind shall live by every word of God. So Jesus went through Satan's testing from the position of a true man. He spoke from the position of a true man. And so, beloved, the answers to every problem of mankind is found in the word spoken through His Son, spoken by His Son. And so we celebrate this season the coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came personally for you and me. For you, He has come. This you can never do. You can never die and rise again for yourself. But Jesus personally came and died and rose again for you. What does Jesus' death and resurrection have to do with you? It has the most precious, most important relationship with you. He came and died on your behalf and rose again on your behalf. You go to heaven because of sin of unbelief, not because of your many other sins. It is a sin of unbelief. And I pray that truth will be revealed to your spirit today, that it will result in a transformed life for you and me, that our lives will be a display of His presence within us, His glory that lives within us. Let us pray. Holy Father, we've meditated upon your word this morning. I pray that the Holy Spirit will work within us. We pray that your will become a reality in our lives. I pray, Lord, that you will give us faith to believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I pray that you will transform our lives, that we will become the testimony of Christ living within us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.